When the hills of Los Angeles, Los Angeles, I'm in most Hollywood nights. She goes to California, oh, California.
California.
Now what you say about Los Angeles?
LA got the people saying,
you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. I'm Josh Gessman along with Wendy Thomas, and on today's show we're going to recap the wins over Houston and Seattle. What do you know, this LA Galaxy team is on a roll and on to the semifinals of the US Open Cup as well. We'll discuss their next opponent and much, much more. Plus, we're going to update you on LA Galaxy news, including injuries and the All-Star Game. And finally, we're going to look ahead to Saturday's matchup with the Portland Timbers in Portland as the Galaxy look to continue their winning ways. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com, and all the fun starts right now. Listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now here are your hosts, Josh Gessman and Wendy Thomas.
Hello everybody and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh Gessman, Miss Wendy Thomas with you once again. Glad to be back after, you know what, after another LA Galaxy victory. This is starting to become a habit, and I like it whenever the LA Galaxy start winning games all in a row and making me excited for what's to come here in the second half of the season. Although, Wendy, maybe not the prettiest of games down this streak they've had so far, but the LA Galaxy are winning, and I don't know if you can really complain too much about it.
Well, there's two schools of thought about it, right? I mean, on the one hand, we are winning games, and ultimately, you know, it's the outcome of a game which really matters. On the other hand, you know, the other school of thought would be that the games that we're winning, we're not doing so convincingly. And it certainly seems like it's not like it's a like coherent victory where it was never in doubt that we were going to win. All the games we're winning seem to me to be games where we very easily could lose because we're not playing that well. And so I'm not persuaded, you know, or not that confident about the team as I was, for example, in, say, 2014, when I felt like we were just scoring at will and dismantling teams and that essentially teams had no chance when they took the field with us. I don't have that feeling about the team right now. It feels very, you know, up in the air as to exactly how we're playing, whether we're going to continue to win, because I don't feel like the games we're winning right now, we're doing so, like, thoroughly.
Yeah, I mean, we still, again, no 90-minute performance from the LA Galaxy. I think now I've said it for, I don't know, 8 or 9 podcasts in a row. Just show me 90 minutes of complete soccer, and I will be a happy camper. It'll show me that you've grown, LA Galaxy, that you have matured since the beginning of the season, and that I can leave you alone at home while I go out to a movie and you won't destroy the place and throw a party. Because
the LA Galaxy is an unruly teenager.
They are in a way, which is really sad because if you look at like the average age, they're really closer to 60 probably than they are to a teenager. But at the same time, you can't trust them yet. You don't want to turn your back on them because you're afraid they're going to do something stupid. And Leonardo did lots of stupid in the U.S. Open Cup game, and we're going to get to that. But you know, at first we got to start with Houston because This week has been so crazy. I didn't even recap Houston whenever we did our Monday show. I still wanted to talk about comments about Steven Gerrard. So if you missed Steven Gerrard's comments and the show revolving around that with LA Galaxy insider Adam Serrano and Scott French, go to the website cornerofthegalaxy.com and look for that show. It's up there in our podcast. Go to iTunes, of course, and subscribe to our podcast as well. That way you get all the podcasts as soon as they come out. I mean, as soon as they come out, usually posted within 20 to 40 minutes of us done recording. So that's the best way to do it. But we have to talk about Houston. And Houston was a game that can pretty much, I think, be summed up by a couple different statements. And I think my first statement is the LA Galaxy didn't play that well, Wendy, which we just discussed, but they won the game.
Yes, I thought it was a peculiar game because I feel like Robbie Keane missed a series of chances, which is a little bit it's a little unsettling when you are a Galaxy fan. You're so accustomed to seeing Robbie Keane finish perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there wasn't just the PK. There was several chances where I was positive we were going to score. I was literally standing on my feet ready to like shout and cheer because I was so convinced we were going to score, and then we didn't.
And then nothing.
That's how strange it was.
And then it was. And I was going to say, my other statement that I was going to make about the Houston game is that Robbie Keane never misses that many chances.
Yeah, never. He never misses that many chances. It was really strange. I think there was glimpses of things that you can take from the game that were positive, but overall it was not a coherent performance. I thought Jesse Zurdis is, as we said in the last podcast, it was very nice that he is, I think he's growing as a performer. I think it was a couple of chances that Jesse Zurdis actually played a big hand in creating,
yes,
which is something that, hey, he's not known for. He's not known as a chance creator, but I literally think that he was actually creating chances, which I'm absolutely astonished by, but that was nice. I thought that Steven Gerrard played really well.
Yep.
But then, you know, obviously, I wrote a preview 2 weeks ago for one of our games where I said, you know, I think because he's our only real attacking midfielder, that so however, you know, the Galaxy goes is going to depend entirely on Steven Gerrard. And he was playing well and we won. But now he's injured.
Yeah, and he came out in this Houston game late in the game. It was in the let's see if I can even find it, 80th minute. So 80th minute sub. And quite honestly, people were I love to sort of follow Twitter whenever it gets later in the games. The LA Galaxy score in the 66th minute from Steven Gerrard, who scored the goal. It was a Robbie Keane chance, by the way, that Robbie probably should have buried, and the rebound came out, and Steven Gerrard rescued the LA Galaxy for the most part. That's you can sort of say that. But so, 66th minute, the LA Galaxy go up 1-0. Now they are in very much defensive mode, and they kind of had been. Houston played well. Don't be sort of surprised that Houston played very well against the LA Galaxy. I think they normally do. And I thought that they, you know, did everything they sort of needed to do. They just really didn't capitalize on the chances that they had, which is something the LA Galaxy is known for. So you saw this, but I like watching Twitter as people start to get nervous and asking for subs to be made, right? Mm. It's like make some subs. And in this particular game, I remember thinking this, I'm sitting there going, why would I want to sub anybody right now? The Galaxy are playing well defensively. They're still gaining possession, and they outpossessed Houston in this game. Houston wasn't getting any dangerous chances.
That is true.
You weren't going to make a sub that was going to really change the shape of the team because you wouldn't want to do that. Everything was looking. You had the matchups that you really wanted to. But in the 80th minute, Steven Gerrard sort of pulled up a little bit and came out of the game in the 80th. And I asked him after the game in the locker room. I asked him if he was feeling okay, and he said, "Yeah, it was fine. It feels like it was just a knock, and you know, not a big deal, and he'll be fine." But since then, he hasn't played.
Yeah, one trend which continued, which is also positive, is the Galaxy playing a really solid defensive game.
Right.
And in fact, this is noteworthy because I had the thought after Steven Gerrard scored, I literally thought to myself, oh, I think we're probably going to win then because I don't see Houston actually scoring in this game, which I usually never think to myself. Usually, right. One, you know, unless we're up, unless we have a cushion of at least two goals, I am biting my nails. But in this context, I literally was like, you know what? I think we're probably going to win then because I don't think that Houston really created. They never. I mean, there was a couple of chances,
right.
But overall, I did not think that they were creating much in terms of breaking down the Galaxy's defense. Once again, the Galaxy's defense was really just, you know, it was good, compact, just solid defensive play.
Four straight shutouts at this point for the LA Galaxy, if you include the U.S. Open Cup game, and it was just solid. It was almost four consecutive 1-0 wins, except they beat Vancouver 2-0. So darn that 2-0 win, I could have had a really cool stat that said 4-0, or four consecutive 1-0 wins. That's what you want to see from a team. You want to be able to win 1-0 games, and you have to be able to win 1-0 games if you're going to win MLS Cup or go after a supporter shield, because there's going to be nights when you don't play well. And when you don't play well,
I feel like we're not really playing well.
No,
I mean,
we're not.
Yes, we're playing well defensively, but it seems so tentative. It seems so precarious that, you know, we are playing everything 1-0. It's not, there's no, you know, thorough victories. Even last year, we know where we went on that hot streak. We were knocking teams down like 5-2, 4-1, stuff like that. We're not doing that this year.
That's okay. If it turns out like it did last year, I'm okay with not beating teams.
It really doesn't feel like we are playing all that well.
No, and they're not. They're not. Offensively, it still isn't clicking. They're doing enough to win, but defense has stepped up. We at the beginning of the year, we had the offense, and the defense was sort of not good. And now we have the defense. We don't have the offense.
Yeah, I know.
just put it all together. It's like a Rubik's cube. You got one side. Now you got to keep twisting it. Oh crap! You screwed up that one side again. And then you got to, you know, you keep working it until you get all the sides the same color, which I've never been able to do. So maybe that's a horrible analogy, because that would mean the LA Galaxy will never figure it out this year. Let's go. This game. My bottom line is, if Robbie Keane makes that early penalty,
if he'd made that PK,
it's a different game.
The dynamic of the game would have been completely different. I was shocked. I was honestly astonished when he missed it, because I feel like it went wide of the net, and I was sure. I was just so sure it was going to go in, and it didn't. I couldn't even believe it. I really was just standing there, just like, what happened?
Yeah.
We didn't get it.
Yeah, it was interesting. That was it. So they win on Friday night. By the way, I love Friday night games. 25,000 plus people at StubHub Center. Yes, traffic was difficult. Although I did hear from multiple people, Lynn, who I talked to at the game, and some other guys who came from the game. They took them 6 hours to get to this game. So I'm not going to complain about my hour and a half that it took, or hour and 10 minutes it took from Orange County to get up there. And Friday night, for a little Friday night light, it wasn't as bad as a Thursday night.
Yeah, weirdly enough, my commute was fine. I have no idea why. All of a sudden, the 4 or 5 like opened up, and I was just, all right, sail down.
Oh, Wendy, go to the game.
It's Twilight Zone.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it was. Okay, so we get done with that game. Now let's move on to the U.S. Open Cup game that was just played on Wednesday night at StubHub Center Track and Field Stadium. If you didn't go to this game, quite honestly, I feel bad for you, because this was fun. It was totally different. It was not how you would expect the atmosphere.
There was definitely goals.
There were goals. There were 6 goals scored. What do you know? You know, lots of different things. But just, I mean, the funny part is, you know, in the press box, normally we sit up high at the back of the stadium. And this time it was sort of like NBA press box, where they set them down close to the, we were in the very front. So I was in the very front row, which is a horrible place to sit if you're trying to see the whole game. But nonetheless, I had YouTube brought up so I could see it. It was bring your own replay night at the track and field stadium. So I just popped that 15-inch monitor right up, and then everybody crowded around and we could watch the replays and sort of followed along like that. But, you know, again, we sort of have to say, what is the theme of this particular night? And in this particular case, the theme was, holy crap, there were a lot of really bad goals in this game.
Now we understand why Leonardo's not normally in the back line.
Yeah, and we understand why Seattle is generally horrible this year as well, because they at least, you know, they really did give up an absolute howler for the one that ended up tying the game after Giovanni Dos Santos and Giassi Zardes came into the game. That was the turning point, and everybody knows that. You don't need me sitting here telling you that the turning point was bringing in those two players. But I also have to say that I think Alan Gordon and Mike McGee did a pretty good job up front. I didn't love the flow of this game at all. And maybe it was because it was at the StubHub Center Track and Field Stadium, although the fields are almost identical to the main stadium. It was a choppy game, and you could see it. I mean, if you look at what happened with the lineups from the very beginning, you had Alan Gordon patrolling up top. You had Legette, who, you know, great. You're getting Sebastian Legette minutes. Mike McGee was in there. Ima Boateng was there. Nigel de Jong. Baggio Husidic. The LA Galaxy had a luxury, basically, to be able to start Nigel de Jong and Sebastian Legette and people like Mike McGee and Alan Gordon, quite honestly.
Do you think the fact that we started de Jong this game means he's not going to play on the weekend?
No, it means that he had 2 games off because he's fine. Yeah, and plus De Jong would not do that to me. I need to see De Jong in Portland because they're already whining about it. And I'm like,
we're playing Portland.
Love Portland, and now I'm just like, okay, yeah, you kind of got too big for your
bridges. I know,
bridges.
But we've had 2 games this year where, like, crying from the other team has caused De Jong to get, like, a post-game red card suspension. And so I what are the odds that there, you know, he's going to foul someone and then the fans are going to cry and then he's going to get a post-game red card suspension somehow satisfy the thirst of other teams for red card suspensions for DeJong.
For Nigel DeJong. Yeah, I mean, bottom line is that every time he touches the ball, they're going to boo him. The good news is that he's going to touch the ball a lot because Steven Gerrard's not going to be playing, or at least it looks like Gerrard's not going to be playing Ashley Cole. But we're going to get a little far ahead of us, right? We got to stick. I wanted to jump there, too.
Yeah, so the game, you're right. It was a chippy, weird game, probably because both lineups were improvised. I mean,
look at those two lineups, though, right? And you look at the LA Galaxy, and then you look at the Seattle Sounders, and there was no doubt about it that the LA Galaxy were playing like their A-minus team, and Seattle was playing.
But Seattle didn't start Morris. They didn't have Clint Dempsey. Yeah. You know, they were missing several players.
Oh, no, I think that Seattle's team was by far worse. I think they were probably in the B mode instead of like an A-minus, maybe even a B-minus team. I talked to some of the reporters there that cover Seattle all the time, and they're like, none of these guys play.
Yeah, you know what's strange about that is normally Seattle loves the Open Cup. Remember, this is their trophy. This is what they usually win.
I'm gonna let you in on a secret this year about Seattle. They blow.
Yeah, well, I know they're having an off year. They're in a rebuilding year or something like that.
But nobody told them that. Nobody told them that they were rebuilding. Basically, what I heard from a lot of the Seattle reporters, I don't want to say staff, Seattle reporters, is that, you know, they relied on some of the older aging guys, maybe probably a year too long, and they just keep rolling them out and you're not getting anything from these guys. I mean, yeah, you got Jordan Morris, that's great, but I go back to Obafemi Martins. If you want to know the difference between the LA Galaxy and Seattle, it's that the LA Galaxy don't trade their playmaker, the playmaker, by the way, the guy who created most of the plays. Clint Dempsey can finish. He's a great guy and he can create too. But, oh, good, we're going to have a phone call, too. But don't even get me started to think that Obafemi Martins wasn't the playmaker there. All right, 3-2-3, who's this?
I'm Josh, it's Jose.
Jose, my friend, how are you doing today?
Hi, Jose.
How you doing? Hey, Wendy, what's going on?
Not much, how you doing?
Doing all right. Well, good. I just wanted to take you back a little bit on that discussion. You guys were discussing Seattle feeling like maybe a B-minus team. They didn't have Dempsey. They didn't have most of their regular MLS starters in this game.
Right.
Jordan Morris was probably the only one that was off the bench at the game. But I think this kind of highlights the importance of not ceding the home game to Seattle. Because I know, Josh, you asked Chris Klein when he was on last week, if there was any discussions about, you know, trying to find another stadium aside from the track and field. And I think Chris even hinted that there was like a little smidge of a contemplation of seeding the game back to Seattle. But that was a quick conversation he mentioned. And it pays off because, you know, if the Galaxy would have had to travel to Seattle, I don't think you'd have maybe a Jalsi Sardis, or you wouldn't have, you know, Gio Dos Santos on the bench. He probably would have been, you know, stayed here in L.A. to get arrested for the Portland game. And I just kind of wanted to bring that up because I think that was just a key moment. It's just not being able to see that game to them, knowing that the CrossFit teams are going on.
Oh, no. And, that is an excellent point, by the way. And I said that it doesn't matter. I wouldn't care if L.A. had to borrow New York City's pitch, all right, NYCFC at Yankee Stadium, their little tiny itsy-bitsy put-it-in-your-pocket pitch. I would have rather played on that than given that game to Seattle. And Seattle fans can whine all they want about that. That was a perfectly good field and a perfectly good atmosphere, and they got their butts perfectly kicked. So, that's a great point, Jose, and it was something I was thinking as I was sitting there last night.
And one thing, because I know Wendy had this courtesy when we were talking about the coal miners earlier, and then she gave a shout out to everyone about coal being a great addition to the team. I know on Twitter I kind of heckle Sebastian Legette and, you know, bring up Becky G curse.
Right.
Mm. I wanted to let everyone know, and Wendy, because she's on the phone, that Legette had a monster game yesterday.
He did.
He was beefing up.
He did.
He was fine. I mean, I was so glad that he got those goals. I mean, aside from that, I think I'm not sure what other games Legette has actually scored on. Aside from La Machina, I can't really think about it.
Yeah, no. Well, he hasn't. He hasn't been getting regular playing time. That's the thing. All right, Jose, I'm gonna let you go. Okay, buddy.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye, Jose.
All right. Jose calling in. Always great to hear from Jose. Phone lines are open if you want to call in. 949-734-4217. About 10 minutes left in this segment before we take a break.
I mean, I think that's a fair point. And I do think it's true that
there's a Becky
that LeJet had a really good game. Although I don't think it's quite fair for you to say that we kicked their butts. I mean, for most of the game, it was tied. Yep. So I came in right before Gordo's goal. And, they were leading at that time. I mean, it was only really in the very end of the game.
They were. But I blame Leonardo for most of that. I think somebody said that Leonardo should no longer be allowed to play soccer. That might be a little harsh. I think he should be allowed to play soccer, Wendy. I just don't know if he should be allowed to play soccer for the LA Galaxy anymore. It's an unfortunate truth. And yes, despite what you'll hear from some other people, Leonardo played very, very well last year. All right. He was one of the best defenders on the LA Galaxy. But when you look at trends and how he's played over the course of his career for the LA Galaxy, that was a peak. And now we're back to regular old Leonardo, it seems. And he's not getting any minutes. So maybe this is a guy who just has to play minutes in order to be good. And I don't think the LA Galaxy are going to give him that time. And I don't know that I would give him that time and all that other stuff. I wanted to talk about Sebastian LeJet because, yes, Giovanni Dos Santos coming in and Gyasi Zardes coming in, I think, about the 78th minute, if I get it correctly, before that. It was like 70. Let's see. I could actually look it up. That would be hell. 74th minute. In the 74th
minute. And then
Gio
had a goal in the 77th.
Yeah, and that was the one where they picked off. By the way, if you've ever seen something, like if you've ever been able to predict what was going to happen, I had that moment whenever I saw Gyasi start to press against the Seattle back, because Seattle was holding the ball in the back. They started to move it around, and Gyasi started sprinting up and putting the press on, and he sort of drove the defender back towards the goalkeeper. And at the same time, Gio saw it, and Gio started that press back on the goalkeeper. So it was like, no, you can't pass back to the goalkeeper. I'm standing right here. And then Gio just sort of played that perfect in-between. I'm just going to wait for you to pass it because you're done. And not only that, but the rest of the LA Galaxy team all stepped up as well. It was that perfect synchronization that you need whenever you're going to press somebody like that. And it all happened at once. And quite honestly, you could see it coming. And Gio saw it coming. And clearly that led to the game-tying goal in the 77th minute. And then Sebastian LeJet, Gyasi Zardes, and
Gyasi Zardes had assists on both of LeJet's goals. So you're right that the pivotal moment was bringing on Gio and Zardes, because you bring them on, then Gio gets a goal, Zardes gets two assists, and Sebastian LeJet is the beneficiary of, being on the end of having a couple of players deliver, help him out, give him some assistance.
It went from being a scary game to a game that was pretty much over right then, after about the 85th minute, whenever LeJet scored the second goal. And, the wheels fell off for Seattle, which was very fun to watch, especially as Jordan Morris was out there. Wonder Kid Jordan Morris got handled by Leonardo a couple times, which is always fun, too. I really don't like Seattle, Wendy. Like, not even a little bit.
I know you really don't like Seattle.
And the fact that the LA Galaxy play them three times this month.
I know.
It's like almost too much. It just keeps building
and
building.
It's a lot. We're getting a lot of Seattle right now.
All right. I got some post-game audio because I actually did my job this week. I didn't write down what it was actually about. So we'll just play some and see what it is. And then I'll key you in with what the question probably was after we hear it. So we got some from Sebastian LeJet, who is generally one of the worst quotes I know of. He's still a little young. He's got to work into this. So hang in there a little bit. We'll rush through a couple of these, and then we also have Bruce Arena and Alan Gordon as well. So here is Sebastian LeJet following the game, the U.S. Open Cup 4-2 victory over the Seattle Sounders on Wednesday night.
Oh, absolutely. That's the first thing I said to myself as soon as they came in. I knew they were going to bring a lot of energy, and they did fantastic. They made such a big impact right away.
All right. So who do you think was the big impact right away, Wendy?
Well, I think it was Gyasi and Gio, obviously.
There we go. We can turn this into a game show. So Sebastian LeJet talking about Giovanni Dos Santos and Gyasi Zardes coming into the game and what they were doing. All right, let's go to Sebastian LeJet, number two here.
I just think I think Gordo and McGee, I think they did a great job. But you just get tired, and they just brought energy, and they're smart players, and with the just being clever, Gio getting that goal, just anticipating the play. And he did well to finish it, and Gyasi just, gave me the perfect ball for the assist, and it's perfect.
All right, Sebastian LeJet on his goals there, and also talking about what Gio and Zardes really did change the game. So some good stuff there. I like this one. This was my favorite one. I actually think I remember this one. Somebody asked if this was, if the atmosphere was like whenever he played in high school.
A little bit, right? I mean, I didn't really get a high school year. I went straight to Europe, unfortunately. But no, definitely. No, I mean... AYSO days for sure. No, but thankful to the fans, of course, for coming out and making it a great atmosphere.
All right, so there's a little Sebastian Legette, right, Wendy? Do you feel at
Sebastian
home?
Sebastian Legette, he's so beautiful. He's maybe not the most quotable of LA Galaxy players, but I'm very glad he got a brace last night.
Yeah, it was good. We were trying to transcribe some of his quotes, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, is there a comma or a period there? I don't even know what that was.
He's so sweet, though.
He is, absolutely. All right, let's go to the boss, the big man, Bruce Arena, after the game. And this was right after the game, so the music will probably be a little loud, but don't worry, Bruce was in a good mood. So let's hear from Bruce Arena following the LA Galaxy's 4-2 win over the Seattle Sounders in the U.S. Open Cup.
No, the guys, you roll a dice sometimes. The other part you always have to think of there is we might be playing 120 minutes, so you have to be careful. But obviously, we injected those players in the game to get a goal. And obviously, Dos Santos did a hell of a job, and Giassi, and, you know, we're fortunate.
We're fortunate. Bruce actually was joking around and saying that whenever he made those subs, it was all coaching. It had nothing to do with those guys on the field. Bruce was smiling. All right. Bruce was smiling. He was having a good time. I want to play this one. I think this is the correct one. If not, I will find the correct one. But Bruce was asked, you know, hey, you finally made it to a semifinal. The first time since Bruce has been here since 2009. The last time the LA Galaxy's made it to the semifinals was in 2006. It's been 10 years. Since the LA Galaxy have made it to at least
the semifinal. But in the interim, we've won like 3 MLS Cubs, like at least 1 or 2 supporter shields. I mean,
I don't know. I don't understand.
Trophy rich years, the arena year.
I don't understand what is difficult to understand about this. If you're an LA Galaxy fan, you expect to win every trophy, every game, every time, right? That's what it is. Yeah. All right. So here's Bruce answering, you know, sort of, does it feel like you have a monkey getting off your back? You finally got to the semifinals.
Yeah. Believe me. Anyone that thinks that we haven't tried to do this, we haven't been able to do it, but it's not because it wasn't important, you know, and it's still important. So the next game, wherever that is, will be a tough game and we'll be ready to go.
There you go. See, that was Bruce answering all the people who say, Bruce, you don't even try in the U.S. Open Cup.
Right? I love how Bruce tacitly acknowledges criticism in like the most oblique way. Like he'll never actually respond to criticism of him, but it's like he knows about it in the periphery of his consciousness. But you know, when he says things like this, it's like he's vaguely aware of us. But not really. Not really so much that he actually would directly acknowledge it.
It's like, no, I don't listen to Galaxy podcasts. I mean, I like the opening.
Well, listen, he definitely doesn't listen to this podcast. But even people like real journalists like Kevin Baxter and stuff like that have written about us not progressing in the Open Cup.
Even real journalists like Kevin Baxter.
Yeah, like real people, not you and I.
I don't know if Kevin would agree with that, but... I thought you were going to say even real people like Kevin Baxter don't listen to Corner of the Galaxy. I was like, what?
Oh, dear.
I mean, I'm sure he doesn't. But anyway, all right, I got another Bruce quote, and I have no idea what it is. So let's play it.
Yeah, it was good. Sebastian hasn't had a regular shift for a while, so it's good for him. And he did a good job. And obviously he and Im, I thought, and Baggio and getting De Jong back, some of the other guys, it's a good experience for him and hopefully gives him the confidence to help to contribute as we move on into the second half of the season.
See, this is fun. Okay, now you get to give me a number between 1 and 8, and we get to hear from Alan Gordon.
A 1 and 8, okay, 5.
5, number 5. Here is Alan Gordon after their 4-2 win over the Seattle Sounders in the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, hey, a goal scorer already always needs goal. You know, that first goal is tough to get. You know, minutes have been scarce, so getting that first goal is good for the confidence from myself and both the boy behind me. So that's good. You know, as many guys you get scoring goals on the team, the better.
All right, 1 through 8, and you're not allowed to pick 5 this time.
3.
Well, we're not there yet. We're only in the semifinals. So, I mean, this team is competitive. It has a lot of winners on it throughout. And so I think we're going to do well. So we got 2 more games. We're on a nice little streak. It's nice to keep it going in the cup, and looking forward to that semifinal.
All right, there it goes. All right, so that's it. I think that was a fun game. We should play that more often, where you just pick numbers and I press buttons. it fills up some time. We get to hear from some other people. Alan Gordon gets to talk a little bit, and it's not every day you get to hear Alan Gordon.
Alan Gordon is very, he's the inverse, he's the reverse, I should say, of Legette. Alan Gordon's highly quotable.
Very quotable. Very, very yeah. fun. Bruce is quotable too. Bruce actually said.
Bruce is my one of my great pleasures in life is listening to a Bruce Arena interview. He's priceless.
I can understand that. You know what actually happened? He actually said the S happens line again, which I actually got this time on tape.
I love it when he curses.
Yes. So I have the S happens. And I will figure out how to get that with the beep on the podcast very, very soon. All right, what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a break. We still got a bunch coming up. We've had some fun in the first segment talking about these two last games, but now it's time to shift our focus over to Portland on Saturday. We still got some LA Galaxy news and standings and all the fun stuff that we always do right here on Corner of the Galaxy. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Recording from deep within Landon Donovan's secret Cambodian lair, it's Corner of the Galaxy.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Josh and Wendy back with you again. We're having so much fun today. I love it when the LA Galaxy win. I love it whenever there was a game the night before we record, so I'm still all hyped up on game fun. It's like a drug, Wendy. I just need more of it. It's
game fun.
Yeah, it's like, when's the next home game? I need it. Away games don't do it for me. I get too worked up at home. Like, me by myself is not, like, a good thing to be watching a game. I need to be in the press box. The press box calms me, and I need calm.
Yeah, it's an away game this weekend, right? I'm going to tweet it, right?
Yes, you are live to the Corner of the Galaxy account at Galaxy Podcast. Wendy,
because Josh is going to be celebrating his birthday.
Yeah, I'm going to be 25.
Ugh,
plus
you're turning 25. I'm turning 25 again.
That's
this
nice.
Year. It's incredible.
That's nice. About 10 years after my 25th
birthday. I know.
Birthday.
It's only I mean, you turn 25 for a decade, and you really get good at it.
That's right. It's practice makes perfect. So yes. So I'll be celebrating my birthday. My son's coming into town, so all that fun stuff will be had. And of course, I think he lands right during this game. So you'll be live tweeting it. I'll be paying attention. I'm sure I'll be around. But Wendy, of course, will probably be using pug gifts. Is what I'm guessing.
Well, that's quite. I mean, you're taking quite a risk making that prediction.
Oh yeah, really out
on
the limb.
Yeah. I could Labrador gifts. I don't know.
You don't know. You know, it could be anything you want. You don't know. All right, let's get to LA Galaxy team news. Just some quick stuff, some housekeeping stuff, just some fun things. Giovanni Dos Santos is the only LA Galaxy player named to the All Star game, which is the like coolest thing I've ever seen.
Thank God.
Like, that's the best news you could ever have, and also complete BS. Because
there is actually no defensive midfielder in MLS who I think is technically better than Nigel De Jong, but obviously he's a villain, so he's never going to be selected for anything.
He would get red carded. He would get red
carded.
Yeah, I know, it's good. He would get red carded in the All Star game, guaranteed. It would happen
would.
For nothing, but he would do it. Yella Van Dam also probably deserved to be on that team. Not even on the bench. Never, not even honorable mention. Whatever.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm again totally happy. I hope every San Jose Earthquake player plays. I think they should get them all up there. I think Bingham needs to, like, you know, run into a goalpost or something. That'd be great. I love the All-Star game. It is completely useless. I love it. Actually, you know what, Wendy? We're recording on All-Star game night next week because of how much I love the All-Star game. Just letting you know.
All right, fair enough.
I care not. All right. Let's go to Lee Nishanian. He is an LA Galaxy 2 player. I wanted to sort of highlight him because I've been straying away from some LA Galaxy 2 roots here. You know I love Los Dos. I love going to the games.
We all love Los Dos.
Oh, my God. They're so talented. Whenever you look at the academy, you saw
that. I love the kids. It makes me so happy to think about the kids.
Yeah, so that U16, U15 team crashed out in the finals against FC Dallas's youth team, which won both like the U15, U16 and the U20. titles, I think, or the U18 title. FC Dallas has a wonderful youth program. The LA Galaxy just... they're so talented on that. That game had no reflection on the talent that was on the field. That was one game. I've seen those guys play. They're amazing. So I just wanted to highlight that. But Lee Gott was named to the USL's Team of the Week. He scored the opening goal and put in a strong all-around performance as LA Galaxy 2 earned a 4-1 win over Portland, up in Portland over Portland 2. All right? So they're Portland Timbers. Dos. I think they make you say 2 up there.
No, we're Los Dos.
Yeah, I don't think that's how it works. So
they're like the twigs or something like that.
What's a baby tree called? A sapling.
Sapling?
Yeah, they're
the saplings.
They're the saplings.
That would be great.
That was perfect. They messed up again. The U.S. Open Cup draw was announced for the semifinals and the finals. We have those results for you here if you didn't pay attention. We didn't know it after the game whenever the LA Galaxy beat Seattle on Wednesday night because the draw was held Thursday morning. So here are the games. August 9th, New England will host Chicago at 5 p.m. Pacific time. That game can be found online, usually through MLSsoccer.com has a link to it, so you can find it there. And then the LA Galaxy won the freaking lottery by getting the host. Listen, it's the team usually gets the host the most home games.
Hosting is so huge.
That's why you didn't want to give that game to Seattle. There was no way you wanted to give that game to Seattle. So the LA Galaxy will host FC Dallas on August 10th at 7 p.m. Pacific time. Ticket information is going to be released very, very soon. LAGalaxy.com/tickets. Don't want to hear whining. I want to see butts in the seats.
Is it going to be at the StubHub Center?
It should be. There's currently, being the LA Galaxy, have three home games now. The week starting of 8-7, so August 7th is a Sunday. The LA Galaxy play August 7th, August 10th, which is this U.S. Open Cup semifinal, and August 13th. Three home games in 1 week, I will be overdosed on home soccer. It's going to be great.
That is a lot of soccer.
That's a crap ton of soccer. I'm trying to think when I'm going to record during. It's like, I'm going to be busy. I might as well just say goodbye to my fiance. Actually, I think she's out of town that whole week. So, hey, maybe God's looking up.
Hey, you can just sleep at the StubHub Center. You can just bring in a backpack and a sleeping bag.
I'll crash with Bruce.
Yeah.
It'll be great. He loves me. All right, so there you go. There's the U.S. Open Cup draw.
We are rooting for New England to beat Chicago, correct?
Yes, and New England has the home game, so you would think that they have the advantage there. Here's the reason why. The draw was also made for the finals, right? So whoever got to host the final, and how they do it is they give priority 1 through 4 to the teams. So the number one priority team is Chicago. Number two priority team is the LA Galaxy. Number three is FC Dallas. Number four is New England. That means that you do not want Chicago to win, because if Chicago wins, they get to host it. They already know, okay? But they're on the road in New England, so there's a good chance New England can beat them. Chicago's a trailer fire. Train wreck? A trailer crack? There was something there. Dumpster fire? I don't know. Whatever.
Garbage.
And they are, because they're Chicago Fire, so they're hot garbage.
Hot garbage. Very good.
Yes. Okay.
And New England loves flying out to the StubHub Center and losing championship games here. So
exactly.
They do it all the time.
So the LA Galaxy basically get the New England cannot host. It's impossible for them to host. FC Dallas can host. It just has to, you know, everything has to go perfectly right for them. Actually, they just have to beat the LA Galaxy, and New England has to win, and then that would happen. But New England can't host, so they better get ready to put their traveling shoes on. If the LA Galaxy beat FC Dallas and New England beats Chicago, this is why you need to watch August 9th. You need to find out who the LA Galaxy are going to play, because quite honestly, the last time I think the LA Galaxy lost a home U.S. Open Cup game was in 2000. I think it was 2000. 16 years of U.S. Open Cup games, and the Galaxy don't lose at home. Okay?
Yeah, well, I mean, historically, the Galaxy are really strong at home. And so, especially for these games that are midweek and whatnot, you have a strong advantage. So we definitely are rooting for New England to beat Chicago, and then us, obviously, to beat Dallas.
I mean, it's going to be a super... Oh, my God, it's so busy. I keep staring at the schedule.
I know, but I can hear the glee in your voice. You're just, like, delighted. I can see you just, like, rubbing your hands together, you know, inside your studio. Like, three home games in 1 week.
Yes, that's great. But then I also look at all... Like, whenever I do the content schedule for all the stuff that we have to do at Corner of the Galaxy, it gets really busy. And I'm like, I need a recap and a preview for that game and this one. And so, yeah, anyway, but that's my problem, not your problem. You just consume the content. I'll keep creating it. We'll figure it out. We'll do a good job over here. You guys do your part. All right. Schedule two more games left in July. LA Galaxy could go undefeated in July. And I think it's a stretch right now because I think this Portland game on Saturday is going to be very difficult.
Really, yeah.
But then they have to face Seattle up in Seattle again, because why not? Why not? That sounds like a perfectly reasonable thing to do, MLS scheduling people. Sunday, July 31st is whenever the LA Galaxy travel back up to Seattle. So that'll be sort of round that out. And the LA Galaxy will have played Seattle three times. They're 2-0 right now playing Seattle. So that's a good news. And then you go into August. And like I said, you're going to start August off with like more soccer than you can handle. It'll be like drinking out of a fire hose here. August 7th, New York Red Bulls are in town. August 10th is that semifinal against FC Dallas in the U.S. Open Cup. And then you have a home game on Saturday, August 13th against Colorado. That's all coming before you travel to New York City on August 20th. Away to Chicago on August 24th and back home to face off against the Vancouver Whitecaps on August 27th. By the way,
that is a busy month.
We suck at Chicago, and mm-hmm. I don't know what to expect from New York City and their little foosball table they got up there, because that thing is tiny. Like, seriously, I think that whole field can fit inside my apartment.
No, it's going to be very odd, like, you know, playing for when we're accustomed to the StubHub Center for the team to be playing in a baseball stadium. But other teams do it, and, you know, and they do it all the time. So we'll just have to adjust.
It's gross. Anyway, and then you get into literally we're already into that September time frame where we're looking at September games. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in September, 5 games in, you know, 6 games in August, 6 games in July. It's starting to add up whenever you look at all the miles they're going. Bruce says it's really hard to win on the road. Don't expect winning.
We have seven games in August.
I captured that one.
Yeah, okay,
sorry.
Six.
Yeah, I know. My bad. I got fat fingers.
It's big. It's a pretty busy month.
It is. So we look at the MLS standings, and in a surprise, in everybody's, in the most gigantic surprise ever in the history of surprises, except that I called it about 365 days ago, is New York City FC is actually playing pretty well over in the Eastern Conference with 33 points their first.
Yeah, they turned it around big time. They started off really slow this season, and then they've really picked up.
I did it. I was asked to be part of an article for somebody who writes for DC United, and they were playing against New York City FC, and they were talking about designated players, and they wanted to talk about the Galaxy's designated players. And I prophesized that perhaps New York City was going to be very good once their designated players figured out how to play together. And, you know, it took Frank Lampard, like, you know, 365 days just to get on the field again. So now that that's all seems to be happening and they actually can play together and they seem to have an identity there, they're a good team. They are. I don't know if they're good enough to play in the Western Conference, but they're good enough to play in the Eastern Conference. I mean, you know.
Universes, the conferences. Western Conference, Eastern Conference, different, entirely different setups. You look at the Western Conference, every single team is pretty much good, except for like Seattle right now, maybe Houston.
Houston's better than that record right now. I'm telling you that. They're better than Seattle. I've seen that in just the way they play. If you are for Pro Rel, you could just ask MLS to turn the second division into the
Eastern Conference into the second tier.
That would be fine with me. FC Dallas is in first in the Western Conference with 40 points. Colorado 37. LA Galaxy third with 32. FC Dallas has played 3 more games than the LA Galaxy and Colorado Rapids, so let's just hold on to our hats there.
You have to look at points per game. Points per game, Colorado is still first.
They are, and then it would be FC Dallas. So you go 1.95 for Colorado, 1.82 for FC Dallas, and 1.68 for the LA Galaxy. And then everything else pretty much falls pretty close. And, I mean, Seattle are hovering just above 1 point per game, which is laughable. But we won the Supporters' Shield. That's what they say. Supporters Shield standing, FC Dallas obviously in front, Colorado Rapids, New York City FC in third, LA Galaxy in fourth. I'm telling you right now, the way the Galaxy are stringing together wins, if they could go through the entirety of July without a loss, Wendy, they are definitely in it for the Supporters Shield.
No, I really think, I always think that it's going to go to an Eastern Conference team, because any team that dominates in the Eastern Conference, they only really need to dominate those other teams because they play them more frequently, which means they can collect points more readily. So I always feel like that it's going to more likely to go, for example, this year to New York NYCFC.
I don't get so excited. I wouldn't go hitching myself to their bandwagon as far as, hey, these guys are actually something yet. I don't believe them yet. They still have me. They kind of have me in LA Galaxy mode. They haven't shown me a ton. I mean, Frank Lampard scored last weekend by running into the ball, and it went in the goal. I mean, hey, better be lucky than good any day. And clearly, Frank Lampard is, you know, an excellent player. But still, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that's sort of breaking their way right now. And maybe you could say the same for the LA Galaxy, winning these 1-0 games that maybe they shouldn't, you know, don't deserve to win. But, I mean, you also look at the defense, and I've really felt that the defense has not allowed a lot of big chances for them. And that, to me, that says something.
You know, defensively, I have so few complaints. I've been really impressed with Gilles Van Damme. I really want to keep him. Ashley Cole obviously was a huge surprise to everyone. You know, we've been delighted with him. I feel like we have a plethora of defensive options because even, you know, with Robbie Rogers out injured, you slot an AJ De La Garza at right back. That's a huge luxury. Like, we have and Nigel de Jong has been he is really solid defensively, you know, despite the fact that he gets so many cards. So, I mean, defensively, we're solid, and you have to have a good defense, I think, in order to win a championship.
No, and that is, I mean, that's if you're looking for a building block there, and that's the building block Bruce Arena wanted. By the way, word points for you for using the word plethora. It's one of my favorite words. Absolutely love it. Right next to
you know, I like to bring good word choice. I mean, you know, bring my vocabulary to the pod.
I know. You're a vocab pod person. I mean, it's totally there. But right, plethora is right. It fills your mouth when you plethora. It's wonderful. And then if you say cornucopia right next to it, like a plethora and a cornucopia of things, it just.
Multitude.
That's so much fun. So much. I've been listening to Neil deGrasse Tyson on Star Talk on podcasts, and one is he has a voice that could like sort of just narrate my life, and I would be okay with that, right? But I feel like if he did that, he would also be telling you really interesting tidbits that maybe James Earl Jones couldn't quite pull off. I'm not saying James Earl Jones is stupid. Right, I'm just saying.
I like Neil deGrasse Tyson's voice.
It's silky.
He's so chipper. He's always sounds so happy.
He is. He's a very happy guy. For a guy who knows all about like the world and outside the world, and the cosmos, and understanding how insignificant we are in the whole big scheme of things, he's awfully happy about it. I mean, maybe
I know. Well, you know, in my experience, physicists tend to be. Have a sort of a bigger perspective on the universe, and so they don't take things quite so seriously.
I can understand that. We've gone horribly off track. I don't know.
This is no longer galaxy talk. This is physicist talk.
Yeah, no, it is, and I apologize. It was me. I did it. It was went off track. But anyway, so back on the LA Galaxy. Obviously, okay. Looking ahead now. All right, we're at the point. It is time to look at the Portland Timbers. This game is an ESPN nationally televised game at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. I've heard. Little birdies have told me that kickoff is around 12:42 or 12:45. I don't know necessarily that I would wait all that long to turn on ESPN at 12:30. You could just do that and then go around and do other things. But this is a nationally televised game. It's unfortunate this game will be played at 12:30 p.m. I know a bunch of people are traveling up there, so everybody's traveling. Be safe. Be careful. Have a ton of fun. Portland's a great city, and quite honestly, I think they really do soccer right up there, and you can hate me all you want.
No. Someone tweeted me. If I dislike Portland fans, which is absolutely not the case. I have huge respect for Portland fans. I just think that they tend to be wildly biased and that they can't.
Of course.
They have that whole thing of being unable to see the lens, you know, like filter the fact that it's their players. Like, so, you know, in the game where De Jong got 2 games suspension for tackling Darlington Nagbe.
Yeah, red card plus 2 games.
In the same game, obviously, Jesse Zardes received a tackle that was just as bad and nothing happened. And yet, you receive nothing but outcry about how villainous we are. And yet, no one from Portland can acknowledge that their own players do the same thing.
Not Borchers.
So it's not that I really admire how committed they are to their team. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, I really think that the high point of all of this, Wendy, and we've talked about it, is the fact that Nigel de Jong will get to play in Portland and just the hate that will surround
They're
him.
They're going to hate him so much.
And I'm going to like revel in it. It's going to be so much fun. Like, I can't even handle it. There's other fans of other teams that also hate Nigel de Jong and come at it from a completely, hey, I've never watched him actually play, but I've heard things, so I'm just going to go with that. That sort of attitude that comes in there, and they say things, but with Portland, they feel like they have a right to be upset whenever they like theatrically will.
I really, really, really respect them and admire them. I'm a little bit put off by their moral indignance.
It's like the righteousness.
It's a little bit much with the righteousness.
Yeah. Well, you know, they won an MLS Cup, so now they're equals.
Yeah. Well, you know, we won five.
Yeah. There it is, and that's the smackdown that continues to play out throughout MLS soccer. Anytime anybody says anything, it's going to be a great matchup. I'm looking forward to it. Really, the people in Portland really are great.
I hope Nigel likes the sound of booing.
It's going to be so much fun. I can't wait. So anyway, 12:30 p.m. kickoff time. Portland 7-6-8 for 29 points, having played 21 games. LA Galaxy 8-3-3 for 32 points, having played 19 games. The last game for Portland was a big 3-1 win over the Seattle Sounders in Portland. It was a game that probably should have seen Siggy Schmidt fired, but Siggy's still there. Maybe they can't find anybody to take over that team right now, and so Siggy's just going to ride it out. But the LA Galaxy will have a chance to get him fired again at the end of the month, so you know, maybe we can all band together here to get Siggy fired, because that has to be coming. I mean, even the fact that they stripped him of basically talent and then made sure that all their players
got
older.
Obafemi Martins, that's a huge loss. Is it really Siggy's fault
it's
that
not.
They transferred him to China?
He's going to be the one who pays for it. I mean, again, it's going to be interesting. So now so it was a 3-1 win over Seattle. Diego Valeri had a wonderful game. He's such a fun player to watch.
Diego Valeri he's really talented.
He is. He had two goals in this game. Fernando Addy also had a goal in that game. Chad Marshall got the goal for Seattle. You know, it was a chippy game, as you'd expect, a Cascadia rivalry, all those things that you would sort of put in there. But now the LA Galaxy get to go up and play Portland. I believe Portland is on a 9-game unbeaten streak, if I'm not completely crazy in that. So it's, you know, they are continuing to play well. I don't think the results necessarily show it, although that win over Seattle was big for them, Wendy. But you should have everybody except for Steven Gerrard. It looks like he's not going to play, and it's a turf game. I'm not sure you want him to play if he has an issue. And
it's not good that Steven Gerrard is apparently injured. Not good for the LA Galaxy.
And Ashley Cole looks like he also probably won't play in this game. Both of those injuries were discussed as minor. And I don't know that has changed. Honestly, with two turf games in a row, do you save them? I mean, this is the game. I look at the schedule and you sort of say, Portland, you know, which of these games could you lose? And, you know, you already won some games on the road. Maybe you shouldn't have won. So now what happens with Portland? I mean, in my mind and in my heart, I'm perfectly prepared for the LA Galaxy to lose this game. It's just been so much soccer for them, and they're missing really that key piece that we've talked about. But
We have the talent to win any single game that we entered into. So I want us to go up there and win, and I would love it, particularly in Portland, where they're gonna just be miserable if we do beat them.
Nigel DeJong scores the game-winning goal in the 91st minute.
Oh, that would be like a perfect LA Galaxy ending.
Nigel DeJong with a brace in
Portland
after stealing the ball with a slide tackle, a perfectly legal slide tackle on Darlington Nagbe.
Turned over on a tackle on Prince Nagbe.
There you go. That's how it's gonna. And so that's really where we sit here. The LA Galaxy last played Portland on April 10th. Back on April 10th, that was the 1-1 tie at StubHub Center. If you go back, you have to go back to the 5-2 win that Portland laid on the LA Galaxy in LA back in October of 2015 that sort of spearheaded that run to the cup for Portland. That's significant, at least in this. If you look at the last six games, the LA Galaxy have three wins, one loss and two draws, and then Portland in the last six games, if you're going to compare them apples for apples, is two wins and four draws. All right, so that's sort of where everything sits for the Portland Timbers and LA Galaxy. I don't know, Wendy.
Let's think optimistically for a road draw. How about that? If you think they're going to lose, how about how about you say that you're predicting a draw, and I'll predict a win.
I feel like that would be a cop out.
Okay, fine. You're predicting a loss. I'll predict a draw then. Draw.
What score draw? What do you have? You have 2-2 draws, wild and crazy?
1-1.
1-1.
1-1 draw.
LA Galaxy have not allowed a goal in their last three.
Okay, zero. Nil-nil draw. Nil-nil. No one scores.
MLS
game.
I don't know. I don't know. Listen, this is one of those. It's so hard for me to predict the win, and you know I want to. You know it's there in the back of my head. I'm like, well, the Galaxy can win any game. Same as you. Oh my God, just so many things. And it's on turf. And I don't like playing in Portland. It's a great atmosphere. It's great. I don't like turf.
I know. I hate the turf. I hate the turf in Seattle more than I hate the turf in Portland, though.
Yeah.
They're both bad, but I think Seattle's is worse.
All right. Well, I'm going with a draw. I think it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
Okay, then I'm going to predict a win.
Yes. All right. Yeah, there you go.
A 1-0 win, since I know we're not going to get 2 goals.
That would be impossible. I don't know.
We're never getting 2 goals again.
Robbie Keane should be available. I don't want everybody to think that everybody's injured. It's not. I think you're going to have a solid back line again. I think Steris and Yella Van Dam and Dave Romney and AJ De La Garza are going to be pairing up back there. That is a solid back line with Brian Rowe. You're going to get Nigel De Jong. I'm guessing Baggio Husidic is sort of your fill-in for, unfortunately, your fill-in for Steven Gerrard. And you're going to get Jeff Lorentowicz in there, who's been playing great. The weak spot is that central attacking midfielder, and that's the weak spot for the Galaxy, and there's nothing we can do about it.
And so, without Gerrard.
I know. I don't know what to tell you. It is what it is. Yeah. All right, Wendy, tell people where they can find you. We'll get on out of here.
Oh, you can find me at cornerofthegalaxy.com on American Soccer Now and on Twitter at Bars Blonde.
All right, and if you're looking for me on Twitter, it's at Jay Guessman, JGUESMAN at Galaxy Podcast is the Twitter. Wendy will have that for the game on Saturday, so make sure you pay attention there. Cornerofthegalaxy.com, go to our shop. You can buy some magnets still. We have some of those. Go to YouTube and subscribe. Just type in Corner of the Galaxy. iTunes, Corner of the Galaxy. Stitcher, iTunes. Stitcher, Corner of the Galaxy. SoundCloud, Corner of the Galaxy. Google Play Store, Corner of the Galaxy. So you see how this works. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you can find us on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Tell your friends. Spread this. We really need to grow this show. If you guys want us to continue to have some of the best guests in Major League Soccer on the show, then I need your help. So please help us out any chance you get. All right. Big game on Saturday. LA Galaxy taking on the Portland Timbers up in Portland, 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. Everybody have fun, safe trip up there and back. All right. For Wendy Thomas, I'm Josh Kessman, and you've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast. And be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.